As I mentioned earlier, today's focus is on peace, and let's just be completely honest. 2020 does not seem to be the year of peace, does it? It seems like it is indeed in short supply. We have lived under the global shadow of COVID-19 for at least 8 months, and probably we'll have several more months before vaccinations start really taking effect. People have become isolated, and their isolation have become very irritable, despondent, distraught. The physical distancing from others has taken its toll. Some have simply complied with all the mandates without question. Others have defied all the precautions with confrontation. And then there's the great middle ground where people wear their masks, physically separate, but are a little weary of it and waiting and asking how much longer. As if that wasn't enough, we had civil unrest. We watched it daily on our TVs, our computers, our iPhones were constantly giving us updates of what was happening with protests, and then riots, and then counter-protests, and then violence. It seemed as if our country was unraveling before our very eyes. And in times of unrest, as a nation, we expect our leaders to call for peace and unity, reminding us that we are all part of the human family, that we are all Americans. However, we were given polarizing views from the two parties that are in charge in Washington. And where is the peace in that? Well, the bad news is there is no peace in that. 2020 has taught us that as good as our health care is, it cannot protect us from everything. It is a reminder of the frailty, the fragility, and the fleetingness of life. We have seen conflicting views of our country competing for dominance before our very eyes. If you say the wrong thing, your friends may never talk to you again. Goodness, there have been divorces over saying the wrong thing politically this last couple years. You may be called a liberal radical or a conservative fundamentalist, and those are the mild statements that are out there. Finally, the amount of hate on both sides of the political aisle have been alarming, and it has been growing for the last 30 years. And this year, it's reached a boiling point. And this election just demonstrated just how divided we are. The popular vote was only decided by 2% of the vote. So almost equal amount of people have a different view of their country and of their politics. If we are going to see peace, it's not going to come out of Washington, D.C. However, today we stand here and we recognize that there is peace. That's the good news. There's the source of peace. We read a part about the proclamation of that peace by a little bit earlier today by the angels in the fields, proclaiming the glory of God in the highest to the shepherds there. And it is in Isaiah that we find where that true source of peace is and how we go about obtaining it. Isaiah wrote in chapter 26, verse 3, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, Lord God, because he trusts you." There's that word trust, faith. Having faith in you. We usually think of peace as quiet, like, I just need a night of peace and quiet. Or at least a night of absence of conflict. But the word that is translated peace in this passage, this verse, is from the word shalom, which means to be safe in mind, body, estate. It means to have an undisturbed mind, a mind without disquiet. The word also carries the idea of being complete, fullness, or a type of wholeness that really encourages us to be generous to those around us. So it is about our focus. Is our focus on Christ? Is our focus on the Lord? If our focus is on the Lord, then we will know peace. We can obtain peace. A peaceful mind is a mind focused on Christ. However, the problem comes is when we take our minds off of Christ, our focus off of Him. And we see this from the very start in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve took their focus on what God had told them and started to place it on themselves, and then they sinned, and God confronted them of the sin, and what happened? They began to blame another. And there conflict was born. James chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 reminds us that this indeed is a byproduct of our selfishness. Conflict is a byproduct of our own selfish desires. It reads, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have. So you murder. You covet and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel." You see, that fighting, that conflict, those quarrels come because of our own selfish interests, our own focus. Eyes on us, quarrels. Eyes on us, conflict. Eyes on Christ, peace. Eyes on Christ, restoration. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 4, verse 24 and verse 1 of chapter 5, "Faith will be counted to us who believe in Him," talking about Jesus, "who raised Him from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The first step toward peace is understanding that Christ died for us, that He died for our sins, our trespasses, and He was raised again for our justification. And justification is just a fancy word that means that God has declared you righteous. And this takes effect to those who call upon Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, their leader and their forgiver. But it doesn't end there. From this beginning, He brings us into community where those of all different backgrounds, traditions, and cultures can find common peace in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, 14 through 16 states it this way, "For He Himself is our peace, who made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of two. So making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." The early church where Paul was writing in Ephesus was a very diverse church. There were Jewish people and non-Jewish people, known as Gentiles. A lot of the Jewish people were raised in strict homes, following the faith of Judaism. The non-Jewish, the Gentiles, were probably raised in some sort of religious environment of Roman or Greek mythology. Those are different backgrounds. We also know in the early church there were slaves and freemen worshiping together. Slaves and master in the same church. Diverse. People who have different ideas of and different concepts of what freedom might be or as some idea of culture. And it was no secret that Jewish and Gentile people did not really get along that well. They distrusted one another. But yet, in a congregation, there they were, all together. No longer two separate peoples, but one people in Jesus Christ. And it says here that He Himself is our peace. He doesn't just give us that peace. He actually divides the wall of hostility down between us. So that means that in this crazy world of hostility and conflict, the place that people ought to find peace is in churches across the globe that worship and proclaim Jesus Christ, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It is a place where people could look in and say, that church has people who are different politically, different racially, different culturally, different in their opinions about general things, but yet they are one in Christ, and there's a peace that is beyond understanding that dwells within them. That is what we're called to do this Christmas time and all out through the time of the year, to demonstrate that Christ is indeed our perfect peace, that he is indeed who centers us and we find our identity, and therefore we can have differing opinions about some things, but then one thing we know is Christ is our Lord, our Savior, and we confess him as our Prince of Peace. So we need to constantly ask ourselves, are we people of self, therefore adding to hostility, division, and quarrels among us, among our country, among our planet? Or are we people of Christ, therefore of peace, unity, and reconciliation, reconciling people to know the Prince of Peace? Those are the questions. How would we answer?